Now, Evangelist Winston Tye.
Thank you. The theme of this lesson is entitled, God's Glory in the Church. Glory was and is a great word among God's people. In the Old Testament, let the glory of Jehovah endure forever. For great is the glory of Jehovah. The glory of Jehovah shall be revealed. The glory of Jehovah is risen upon thee. All of these were favorite themes of thought and devotion. In the New Testament, inspiration reveals that whatsoever we do, we should do all to the glory of God, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. These are thoughts that fill our minds with a sense of God's glory. It is the glory of the church that she preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. The ministry of the word is the mightiest power in the world today. Preaching the gospel means that the greatest themes to occupy the human mind are discussed. Necessity is laid upon me, said Paul, for woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. 1 Corinthians 9:16. Paul, in referring his readers to the gospel he had preached, said, "It is not after man." He did not receive it from man. He received it through revelation of Jesus Christ. Galatians 1:11, 12. The gospel of Jesus Christ is not of human origin, nor composed of human precepts. What is the gospel? We cannot answer this question with speculations of human thought. We answer the question with apostolic truth. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Romans 1:16. If a man would magnify the power of God, let him preach the gospel of Christ. The truth of God is the only power that can change the human heart. It is the mission of the church to plant the word of God, the seed of the kingdom, in the heart. God will give the increase. The great need of the world is to be saved from sin. Sin is discord, the cause of unhappiness and misery. It was said of Jesus, "He shall save his people from their sins." Matthew 1:21. Now, Jesus said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned." Mark 16:15-16. The church cannot and must not ignore the greatest of all commissions. This work of preaching the gospel is not left to the ministry of angels, but to human agencies. The gospel as Jesus gave it is the answer to the world's greatest need. It is the mission of the church to give voice to the facts, commands, and promises of the gospel. The world is full of sin, and we are in it. It is the glory of the church to preach the gospel. We cannot remove a responsibility by declining the task or solve a difficulty by ignoring it. The church should follow the example of Christians in the Jerusalem church who went about preaching the word, Acts 8:4. It is the glory of the church when the Spirit which animates it is the Spirit of Christ. The Apostle Paul said, "If any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." Romans 8:9. The Spirit of God and the Spirit of Christ dwells in us through the Word. The Holy Spirit is received by the hearing of faith. Galatians 3:2. The church is to possess the mind of Christ. The apostle declared, "Have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Philippians 2:5. We cannot have the mind of Christ unless we know his thoughts. What were the thoughts of Christ? What was the mind or the spirit of Christ toward God? It was one of entire devotion to the will of God. He came to do the Father's will, John 4:34. He declared, "I must be in my Father's house," Luke 2:49. There is the thought of devotion in that prayer. "Not my will, but thine be done," Luke 22:42. Now, it is obvious that if we possess the mind or spirit of Christ, we will do the will of God. It is the glory of the church when the mind or the spirit of Christ is in his people. The Apostle Paul was thinking of a higher standard of living when he wrote the letter to the church at Philippi. He urged them to be more Christ-like by pointing to the humility of Christ. He was speaking of the example of Christ when he said, "Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient even unto death, yea, the death of the cross. Wherefore also God exalted him, and gave unto him the name which is above every name." Philippians 2:8-9. In the spirit of humility, Jesus walked to his death. Jesus never retaliated with reference to personal injury. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." We have never seen such condescension. Such humility was never known before. What attitude did Christ have toward the doctrine that he proclaimed? He condemned error and exposed the wrong. Speaking of the Pharisees and scribes, Jesus declared, "This people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as their doctrines the precepts of man." Matthew 15:8-9. Again, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full from extortion and excess." Matthew 23:25. So we see that Jesus stood against the forces of opposition. Therefore, to possess the mind of Christ, we must stand up for the truth and stand against all opposition to the truth. It is the glory of the church when she does the work of Christ. In all things, the church should follow the example of Jesus, who took upon himself the form of a servant. Philippians 2:6-7. He said to his disciples, "I am among you as a servant." The Son Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. Then he proclaimed, the disciple is not above the master. It is the glory of the church when she renders a service in the interest of humanity. In the last great day, Jesus will ask us if we carried a cup of cold water to the thirsty, fed the hungry, visited the sick, entertained the stranger, or visited the prisoner. We are to be rewarded or condemned as we have served or failed to serve. The Apostle Paul sent for the elders of the church in Ephesus. He said unto them, in all things I gave you an example, that so laboring you ought to help the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Acts 20:35. The attitude of the world is receptive, but the attitude of the church is distributive. The church is God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Ephesians 2:10. Christ gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a people for his own possession, zealous of good works. Inspiration, therefore, reveals that a Christian is a worker, a zealous worker, and a zealous worker of good works. The word Christian expresses our relation to Christ. A Christian is one who believes in Jesus, does what Jesus says, as Jesus says it, because Jesus says it. The Apostle Peter said, if a man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this name. 1 Peter 4:16. The stipulated conditions of pardon, faith in Christ, repentance toward God, confession of Christ, baptism by his authority, constitute the plan of salvation. Let us so love Christ that we cannot choose otherwise than to keep his commandments. God bless you, my friend.